Red, black, and green in case you forgot.
Roots Reggae hands Radio.
Hands off the cider. They got drones and all their spaces. They starting wars in foreign places. There ain't no doubt these bitches racist. You freedom fighting and they hating. Just keep your hands off of a cider. Just keep your hands off of Asada. Just keep your hands off of Asada. Just keep your hands off of Asada. Keep your hands off of Asada.
Truth always ringing to you when he blessed the mic. Like Harry Allen said, don't attest the hype. Calling all the countries terrorists, they just alike. Got freedom fighter elders, now they want to extradite. Rebel like Chuck D, P.E. Study lessons hard since 91. Supporter of Chesimard, fought for black rights, food, shelter, and textiles. Escaped from prison, now she living in exile. FBI want to back for violent means. Tell me what the fuck political asylum means. Why they acting on a case from 73? And when a black president gon' intervene, he wouldn't be in the White House today if not for SNCC, Black Panthers, and BLA, etc. Remember the COINTELPRO war? Keep your goddamn hands off Asada Shakur.
Bang! They got drones in all their spaces. They starting wars in foreign places. There ain't no doubt these bitches racist. You freedom fighting and they hating.
Just keep your hands off of Asada. 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 Keep your hands off mama.
$2 million body wanted dead or alive. These allegations seeming like nothing but jive. Wanted cause she challenged the U.S. enterprise. Put them on a polygraph, they telling nothing but lies. State troopers said her shots caused alarm. Between her waist and her chest, depositions of palms. Tell me, how could she do any harm? When they shot her in the back and under her arm. Even back then, see, they wanted her dead. Her position was surrender hands over her head. Evidence shows she was under fire. J. Edgar Hoover said, kill the black messiah. Domestic terrorism right in your home. 60 plus police killings in Chicago alone. The biggest terrorists worldwide initiate wars. Keep your goddamn hands off Asada Shakur.
Bang. They got drones in all their spaces. They starting wars in foreign places. They you freedom fighting and they hating.
Just keep your hands off of Asada. 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 Keep your hands off mama,
and you're listening to Artists in the City. This is Roots Reggae Radio, and that track was called Hands Off Asada by Truth Universal. And Truth Universal, for those who don't know, was born in Diego Martin, Trinidad. Truth Universal became a New Orleans resident, age of 4, grew up in Crescent City, hip hop, brass, calypso, bass music, reggae, soul, jazz, and gospel. And he was in town and had a show with us. Maybe you want to introduce yourself and also tell listeners why you are here in Toronto.
Greetings. Thank you for having me. I'm fortunate to be a part of your program. Thanks, you know, thanks again for having us here. In town with my DJ, Def D, we played North by Northeast again this year. We did once before in 2011, right? And we played Crawford last night with a great lineup of folks. I think a few folks from here. We had Lanai and the Free People, cats from Chicago, forget their names, and Anami Vice was there. It was cool, and it was put on by DJ Fusion of Fusebox Radio. So it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. It was a pleasure to be here. The atmosphere is great. We just try to do more things, and you know, be back for more in the future. You know.
Okay, so so I was unfortunately not able to attend because I was traveling, but maybe talk about your journey and your relationship with Toronto. This is not your first time here, so maybe talk about coming here and basically the festival.
Yeah, like I said, we we've played once before in 2011. No, actually twice before. Actually twice before 2011 and 2009 as well. We played Harlem then in 09, and we played Crawford in 11 again. So it unfortunately that's the only times I've had the opportunity to come through and rock. But we're trying to change that, you know. And as festivals go, festivals/conferences, they're always pretty cool networking opportunities. Unfortunately, we have to be out kind of quick this year, but we plan to you know, do some stuff this evening and hopefully touch base with some people doing different things, be it you know, booking, you know, management, and you know, best of all, artists. You know, having to you know, network directly with the artists is a very good thing, and especially, you know, making that link with Toronto artists, or keeping that link with artists, you know, that are here, because it's very rich culturally, as in New Orleans, but not just in general culture, but in terms of hip hop, it's a very solid scene here, and I've just always been taken by the scene here, even back, you know, before Cardinal blew up, you know, and then, you know, later subsequently, even in that era, you know, you had like Socrates and whatnot. You know, people still doing their thing, but subsequently, then you had like Chaos and who else? K9 and other folks. And again, back, you know, before, you know, following like Monolith, the whole Monolith crew. And I'm looking at stuff like that Cat Wayo is doing now. I'm like, you know, it's very impressive. And just knowing these artists and being able to know, even just build on possibly collaborating is a good thing.
So maybe talk a little bit about, we kind of introed the show with Hands Off Asada. Maybe talk a little bit about that track and then also what you just released, or, you know, what you're working on now.
Yeah, that track was something we did, you know, the U.S. put Asada Shakur on the FBI's most wanted terrorist list. You know, just to address that and just start discussion on that, because that's what I do. You know, I try to have music topics a lot of times. You know, not all the time, that would you know, spark dialogue, and hopefully, you know, in turn, you know, would be affecting outcomes of some issues by doing so. So, you know, it's just something that needs to be talked about. And, you know, sometimes we take these, you know, popular tracks and we do like mixtape covers. And that was just one. And I just wanted to do like an auto-tune thing. But, yeah, we did that. And that's not attached to any mixtape or anything. It's just something that we just did and put out, like, you know, right quick. I have a project that we're finishing up now that will be released soon called Invent the Future. And that should be out in August the 20th. But, you know, it may be later, you know, depending on how things go with folks who are handling it, like distributors and whatnot. But it's my fourth studio release. Had the opportunity to collaborate with some good folks. Kev Brown from DC did a joint on it. He's a producer. My man Pudge. You know, folks may not know of Pudge, but he's a very dope cat, and he's been, you know, putting in work with a lot of folks, like a lot of the West Coast beat cats like DBIC and you know, from that Flying Lotus kind of clicking sound. So Pudge did some joints on it. He did a good bit of joints. We have my man Shorty Banks holding out, you know, some production as well. I have my man Larry Kill on there with some guest vocals. I have Rock Ira Science from Dilated Peoples. that's all I can think of right now. I mean, there's more. Who else is on it? But you know, it's like I said, it's my fourth joint, my fourth studio release, and I'm very excited about it. And I think you know, folks will really dig it, especially if you follow what I do. It's a slight departure, subtle departure from you know, my previous work. Still the same content and whatnot, but you know, there's a focus on MCing, a little less heavy-handed, I guess, with I don't know, commentary, so to speak. It's still there. It's always going to be there, but it's just like not as blatant. It's more of a focus on MCing, as well as you know, the whole aesthetics with the music, just having a different feel to it.
How long was your process of writing and recording, and how long was that process?
It's always too long, but this has been in the making probably 2 years, right? And that's just because it just takes, you know, a while to get the resources together. Say I want to work with people to compensate them for their work, and just having the time to actually go to the studio and knock stuff out, having the resources to, you know, pay the studio for what they're doing, and just getting the product together. So it just takes a while, you know, just working with life schedule and working around that, you know, trying to fit this in. So it took, like, you know, it's taken about 2 years, and you know, some folks are kind of like, you know, what's up, you know. But the good thing about, you know, taking that amount of time is that we were able to do this Kickstarter project at the end here, and folks were able to get involved toward the end to help with the completion. It was right on time, and we were able to pull it off. So that was very exciting, and it definitely helped. So anybody who contributed, and just anybody who supports, really, you know, thank you for being a part of that. So we will be inventing the future.
What is your plan, you know, going back after performing here? What is your daily, you know, life as an artist?
You know, a few other things are involved. Don't do the MCing full time. So again, just like the recording was fit into the daily schedule, the subsequent tour support for the record has to be fit in as well, you know. So that's all being determined, talking to folks in different places, and you just kind of have to work with what presents itself. But we should, between like August and the end of the year, we should at least have been to, you know, at least somewhere in the four directions in the U.S. Working on some international stuff as well for support of the album in terms of performance, and hopefully we can get back here, you know. So I'm still discussing all of this with people, but that's the next move, to just, you know, work on the tour support, you know, for the project once it's released. But actually, right before that's done, we just have to also make sure it's going to get to certain places that I want it to be. We have the U.S. covered. We more or less have, you know, most international territories covered, but I'm just trying to make sure it's where I want it to be: Germany, Japan, you know, UK, Australia. So when we push to, you know, do shows in those areas, it makes sense because the product is already there and possibly circulating.
So maybe talk a little about, I guess, your journey as an artist, and maybe your influences growing up, both like with, you know, Trinidadian. I was just actually in Trinidad, so that's and your experience growing up in New Orleans.
It's very interesting that I was able to experience those two cultures growing up. It's really helped to cultivate me, and I think I would say it's helped me to, you know, be able to produce a very unique product, because, you know, I don't know anybody else with those two you know, cultural backgrounds that do hip, that is doing hip hop the way that I do, and you know, you can hear the influences in the music. You know, it's been kind of like, it's kind of all over the place if you just name the genres, but if you, you know, kind of concentrate on the root of where they've come from, it makes a lot of sense. You know, I think New Orleans and Trinidad have a lot in common. I guess it would be like just the African influence on both countries. You know, like we have street parades, we have the indigenous music of both places is kind of it has a similar bass rhythm to it, like that bambula rhythm, is like a boom 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 boom, boom. And it's all throughout the Caribbean in there too. You know, food, like gumbo in New Orleans is a staple. Callaloo in Trinidad is a staple, both, you know, okra based dishes, and we could go on and make these comparisons, but like there are a lot of similarities. So it's kind of like, it was an easy thing, you know, even climate wise, it was easy to make the transition from Trinity to New Orleans. So, you know, all types of music in my background. It's just from stuff being there, I think innately, and also just from stuff that we heard in the household. You know, a lot of reggae, a lot of soul, and then, you know, calypso, and then you have soca, and you have, you know, traditional like New Orleans stuff and New Orleans soul from like the from like the 60s to the 80s. It's like an amazing, you know, catalog, amazing discography that came out of New Orleans, you know. So all this is there, and so all of that is just helping to you know, kind of be my muse, and it is there, and it helps me to create, and you know, they've been there. So, and like I said, if you listen closely enough, you can hear it in the music. Yeah. Oh, and as far as like hip hop goes, anybody who had like dope delivery, was a dope writer, you know, just had the solid skills down, and they were able to produce something great. You know, that's what I gravitated to. You know, they didn't necessarily have to be a message music, because that actually came later. It was just like, you know, dope hip hop is what I like. I started out, I remember, like, you know, LaToya and with Just Ice and DMX and Hip Hop Gangster and Z3MCs and other stuff with Mantronics, T-La Rock, MCT, the whole, you know, early Def Jam, you know. And then, of course, the message music just spoke to me. I was like, you know, this is, you know, what's happening. You know, a lot of stuff I didn't understand. And when I started, you know, MCing, even though I had that stuff in my, I've been exposed to all of that, I couldn't articulate, you know, a lot of it. So my first songs were like, you know, a bunch of like metaphors just pinned back to back, you know. But eventually, as I became more, you know, astute in terms of things happening around me, and, you know, where I was learning myself, it became evident that, you know, something was going on with me in the music as well. So, musical hip hop influences are just that. You know, anybody who could just, you know, who was a dope MC. Then in the time that I really realized that I wanted to, you know, do this, like really do it, is like at a show where it was Dana Dane and Clark Kent, and they did a skit, you know, back and forth, and it was, you know, Clark Kent going back and forth on the wheels, and then he ended up, you know, while he was doing the backspins, he took his shirt off, and he had a Superman shirt on under it, and like everybody, it went wild in the whole like arena, Lakefront Arena in New Orleans, and I was like, man, I want to do that, like, for real. And that was the main thing right there.
So maybe talk a little bit of, I guess, New Orleans, living there now, and you know, Katrina. I guess update around Katrina stuff.
You know, I like to be positive about it. And one thing, something I started to do recently, I'm making a conscious effort to not, you know, refer to, you know, the periods and nuances pre and post Katrina. You know, what I heard a cat in an interview say, and I was like, man, that makes so much sense. He was like, you know, prior to the federal levy failures, you know, it was like we did this, and you know, after we did this. So it's been a task rebuilding. You know, it was one time I would look around the city and I was like, you know, I felt like I needed to be there to help with the effort, with the restoration of whatever I could, you know, as well as get my own thing together. But it was very, very discouraging if you looked around, you know, like down streets for like months, there were like no traffic lights, you know, whatnot, just like stop signs and debris still all over the place. But, you know, people have been able, you know, over time, people have been able to, you know, get the resources together. A lot of people have, a lot of people haven't, you know. But it's gotten back to close to where it was before. You know, I would say. And something that really helped is the thriving culture. You know, I didn't understand it at first when I saw it, but like, we had evacuated to Houston. And we were watching, I don't know if it was when the levees broke or some, it was an interview with this cat, and he was actually in Treme, like the first season of Treme, I forget his name, but he I don't know if he played on the brass band, but he had a lot to do with the whole brass band, second line culture and stuff, and second line is a street parade, and he said, They did Mardi Gras like right after, like in 06. I'm like, oh, like, you know, that's not what we need, you know. And he was like, man, we need this. We need this to get ourselves back together and be whole again. And I was like, at first I was like, nah. But the more I thought about it, I was like, it made perfect sense. So the culture started back being restored like almost immediately. And if you are familiar with Treme, you would see the cat that came back. He was a Mardi Gras Indian. He was just, you know, bent on, as well as getting his thing together, rebuilding his home and getting his family back together. He was bent on getting the Indians back together, practicing, or having regular meetings and parading again like normal, just to restore the culture as well. So that's helped a lot. But, you know, there's still a lot of people who haven't, you know, received, you know, aid that had been promised. You know, people are still battling to get this. We had to go through some stuff to get anything. It's like, you know, the road home deal was like, you know, it's $150K, you know, should have been paid out to everybody who needed it, who had damage. It shouldn't have mattered if you had insurance or not, but then people who had insurance had problems. Some people who had insurance had full coverage, got everything, and didn't have any problem. It's kind of like, you know, then it got to be like who you knew type stuff, and a big headache. But, you know, like I said, some people are still fighting with that. Some people are still not able to return because they hadn't been able to get whatever resources they needed to get back in their home, because everybody wasn't a homeowner. That payout was for homeowners. So people still scattered. Some people's trying to get back, but a lot of people have been able to rebuild and whatnot. So, you know, it's if you came to New Orleans, I mean, a lot of times people come and what's presented to them, what you see first, what you have access to, is like stuff that wasn't really touched, that was like downtown and, you know, certain areas. But some stuff is gone. Like some stuff has been rebuilt. Projects were torn down. All public housing just about is gone, except for like one housing project. But you know, yeah, they rebuilt with the mixed income housing, and quote unquote. And you know, that looks it looks great. You know what I'm saying? But some people still haven't been able to be rehoused because of that. You know, some people still are away and can't come back because of that, because it wasn't a one-to-one restoration. So, you know, that's where it is there. You know, some good, some bad. You know, I like to kind of stress the good more.
Yeah, maybe talk a little bit about revitalization of, I guess, the culture. Yeah, like what is that continuing, and what can, yeah, maybe talk a little bit more of that, the positive that came out of it.
That was a good depiction in Treme of folks really fighting to restore the culture, and I think it was successful. You know, I think it was successful because that aspect of things is fine. That aspect of things is fine. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with the, you know, the second line culture. There's another section of the city that's a part of the French Quarter. It's not what people know Bourbon Street, like the tourist attraction. This other strip called Frenchman Street, where a lot of jazz musicians play, a lot of musicians, period, play. That every night, all night, just about, stuff is happening up and down there. And that's what folks concentrated on. A lot of the musicians, that's what they concentrated on when they came back, gigging on Frenchmen, and it's kind of just building that back up. So that's really strong. You know, that's probably the strongest part of the city still, you know, in terms of places to perform and where musicians are at this time.
Okay, I think we're going to take a musical break. What do you think we should play? Does it matter?
I think we should play, let's play that Praise the Lord, produced by Crisis.
Yeah. 84, hip-hop sickness that cannot be cured. Rap fanaticism turned to sharpening my sword. Circa 1990, school by AM94. Back when Seafood City was on St. Bernard and Broad. It's my pleasure and my duty, a love-laden chore. And I change a few things on the path I've endured. Made my greatest efforts to not be obscured. Safe to say that I'm a product of the blocks I've explored. Paid dues the average cat cannot afford. Earth support of independence, both implied and implored. Studied and mastered the craft. Blessed to be on tour, both domestic and abroad. Rock and watch patrons applaud. Humidity and heat, but still we needed more. So I called North Carolina and got Crisis on the boards. Standing at the end of the microphone core. Truth universal, self-ruler, glory, praise the Lord.
Who in the hell left the gate? Little brothers, you're free. Cause I paid the price. I paid the price.
Man, I'm New Orleans, East 9th Ward, working class, Section 8, destitute but still contribute to the collection place. Help the building fund, don't just stick to be affectionate. Mind born digger, to Louisiana, rep my state. Black business first, the difference my complexion makes. I'ma spit till kingdom come, that's my best estimate. Just wanna rock, galvanize, have on par sales, and have it sold up like Denise, making Gordon Guard trails. Live by the same, all things in moderation, and prefer the compensation in larger denominations. I'm less perp, we smoking. Can we tote? And more electoral college versus popular vote. Not the Barry White baritone dropping the notes. On the pole dancer platforms, ocular growth is my main objective. I don't knock your approach, but struggles my religion. I put stock in my quotes.
I ain't really trying to be facetious. Ain't nothing for free. I ain't free. I ain't really trying to be facetious. Ain't nothing for free but the love of Jesus.
Stylized star on par by far best. You finish it, I ain't even Sargetta artist. I'm only jumping as high as the bar set. And running through these lines, I'm Tony Dorsett. You a Geo prison against a suit Corvette. Better get a pedestrian against a car, yes, target. Get hit in the bullseye, do not bull. I throw a sharp dart so we can hit my opponent's proponent of ownership component. Cable took me from the phone in front to own it. We talking TV, 1080p, NA bars. Bury you under the beat, give me 16 statutory. What I spit through, rip me who? A pit against a shit zoo. Old soul ain't new, but the tissue. How I flush flunkies before a disc too.
And we're back, and this is Roots Reggae Radio. This is Artists in the City, and that was Truth Universal, if you're just joining us on the show, off the Invent the Future. Invent the Future. And the track was Praise the Lord by Truth Universal. So maybe talk a little bit about that track.
Yeah, like I said, it was produced by Crisis. If folks are familiar with Little Brother and the Justice League, that's him. He produced that track, just building with. He came to New Orleans, actually, and I told him, like, we need to work. I'd like to work with him. And he's like, yeah, cool. So that's what came out of that. I got my dude on there, Larry Kill, with a guest verse. And also DJ Watt handling the cuts. So, yeah, that's one I forgot to mention. I was trying to name the producer. He's one of them. But this is one of the tracks that I'm really excited about, you know, on the project. And we put this out in March, like prior to South by Southwest, as a single, kind of like an early single, but it still will be on the album.
So I wanted to talk to you about. I ask all the artists that come in just. How it is to, in this, you know, new technology that is the web, and new media, new platforms coming all the time, you know, how that's kind of influenced you in reaching your audiences and, you know, independently pushing your albums.
Well, I've gotten to a point where I feel like I need to utilize all of my tools. To really you know, engage the audience or potential supporters, and something I hadn't been doing for quite some time because I've just been really too consumed is using my skills as a programmer to really you know, incorporate more technology into those marketing and audience engagement strategies. And so that's something big that I'm working on right now. The first step is to revamp and relaunch my website, truthuniversal.com. Banzoogle. Is that the site? Is it Banzoogle? There's a site where you can get like web space. And they help you to build the site, it's a template site, but you know, they host it as well, and they help you to, you know, build an effective site. And so I went to a conference called Sync Up that coincides with the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, and they were there talking, and took apart, demolished people's websites. They said. Basically, they broke it down and said where it wasn't effective and what needed to be there. One thing you need to engage folks with is all your social media. Like, that needs to be all your social media interaction, all your sites and channels. They need to be where people can access them. Like, at the top, needs to be a call to action, no more than two. You know, talking about things that you're doing right now. Albums and tours are usually what artists would push mostly. And you need to have a good web store. Your merchandise needs to be there, and it shouldn't be a chore for folks to get to your, it's a different site, parts of your sites, but definitely your merchandise. Because like every click, they say, every click that you have to make on a site, you lose, I think you lose 50% of the person's interest. And, you know, you don't want to, you know, two clicks and it could be like, that could be it. It could be gone, you know? So you want to have it, you know, make it as easy as possible to get to different parts of your page. So that's the first step. Another thing I see bigger artists do, and I don't really see indies. I see some indies kind of getting into it now is, you know, us having apps, mobile apps. And that goes hand in hand with a mobile site. A site that loads quickly and gets to your music, merchandise, and social networks right there as soon as you're using any phone. So that's something I'm working on right now, like mobile apps. I wrote one for BlackBerry, since that's what I still have, but it's kind of like obsolete. But it was just like a practice run. But so now I'm working on you know, Android and iPhone, and you know, I'm gonna get that going soon in the next few months, and that should be there. So I think those are things that folks need to be focused on. You know, good website that engages the audience, good mobile site, and apps.
Saying that, maybe you should basically plug where people could get in contact with you.
That's another good point. That should be readily available right on the site. So on truthuniversal.com is where, you know, you can get to me. The contact page will have everything. It's there now on the contact page, you know, the email, physical address if you need that, and the booking, which is booking at Truth Universal, and whatever else you need to get to me. But that'll get you to me some form of fashion.
So do you do any other things? Do you do, like, you have any videos coming out, or are you working on that aspect of, I guess, interactivity, because you're doing mobile apps and all that kind of jazz?
Yeah, I try to do as many videos to accompany projects as possible, but you know, I don't want to do too many that are not as effective as they could be, and it's not as professionally done as they could be. So we're gonna be working on a couple before the end of the year. More may come, but I'm gonna focus on, like, you know, 2 to 3, and we actually start working on those in July to accompany, I guess, the next singles from the album. I forgot about that. So we will be shooting videos real soon, like in a studio for sure, and then have to kind of coordinate with some other folks I work with to see what we're doing otherwise.
So I guess yeah, maybe we'll go to another track, and we'll come back and we'll wrap up. Thanks so much for coming into Roots Reggae Radio. This is my second home. I think, how long have I been on the show? I think it's been about a couple of months. Hopefully you'll be able to come back, because that's one of the things that Roots Reggae Radio are trying to, you know, integrate, both video and audio, and then, you know, working with our website and stuff like that. That's what's coming up. And it's exciting because in my other work in film, I'm doing the same thing. So I think with this new, I guess, forum on the web, there's like sort of capacity where we can actually have our own channels. And so I guess I wanted to also ask you about that. As I was rambling on, I came with a question. maybe talk a little bit about the power of the web in sort of not only, you know, as an artist, but bringing out a message.
It's you don't really realize, I mean, you hear people say it all the time, but you don't realize the power of it. It's like you're touching people and getting stuff to people, like, almost immediately, and on the other side of the planet, you know, all across the planet. I was watching a Meek Mill interview one day, and he was talking about how people in France, he had just released, you know, this one of his singles before Maybach Music, before probably anybody outside of Philly had really heard of him, and he was getting, like, you know, thousands of hits on YouTube, and a lot of it was from overseas, and he's getting email from people and comments from people in France and you know, Britain, saying, you know, we like what you do, keep doing it. So it's pretty amazing, and it's really powerful. Like, a cat put on my Facebook page in Turkey, you know, Truth Universal to Gezi Park, Istanbul. You know, we want you here. You know, just somebody that's there, you know, involved in the protests and stuff. Like, want you to kind of like, you know, word, you know, and just like in the past couple of weeks, like, you know, a few cats hit me up for like older vinyl releases that I've had. One in Germany, one in the UK, and one in the States in Milwaukee. But just the fact that, you know, these cats could just look you up, find you, and, you know, get to you, you know, it's pretty amazing. So, you know, we can utilize that to our advantage, being independent artists. We don't have the resources that bigger machines have. So that's why it's very important to engage, you know, the audience. One big thing, and Bandcamp offers it when you do downloads, is to collect the data and make sure you stay connected to folks who are interested. Facebook likes are cool as well. I'm still trying to figure out, you know, how to really get to people, you know, outside of events, because nobody like really, you know, looks at events like they used to. If you could collect that data, get to like email addresses and stuff, that's where, you know, you can really reach folks. And then another big part of your whole operation cycle should be a solid email list, and you know, what they would call email marketing, and, you know, having effective newsletters and whatnot, and working on all that. So yeah, it's very powerful. You know, not to be cliche, or echo those sentiments of other folks, but it's very powerful, and, you know, it's at our disposal. We just need to be smart about how we use it, and keep up with the technological trends, so we can be effective, more effective, as time passes.
So maybe talk about, you know, you're saying you're sort of working on your site. What is your, I guess, plan for that? Where you as an artist want to go in the future?
Was that like two questions? Okay. Like, you know, yeah, the site. I want the site to propel me. Revamping and relaunching the site. Some stuff may go with that. This is all gonna accompany the release of the record. So, you know, we're gonna be doing stuff to just draw attention to it. So, you know, like giveaways and things of that nature. So, all of that's coming, and, you know, just by it just existing, you know, the relaunch happening, I hope, you know, the things that we've incorporated would just help to kind of like, you know, engage folks more. As far as where I want to go as an artist, like, going back to what I was saying earlier, I just want to, a big thing I've always wanted to do is just do more touring outside of the States, you know, more international touring. I love, you know, stateside stuff, domestic stuff. I need to do more of that as well. But I just want to be able to get out more. Somebody I really admire, and he had the vision, like, early on, like when he started his Odyssey from DC, and his sights were always set on, you know, international territories. Like, now he goes to Germany, you know, Hamburg, Berlin, where he sells out. You know, he goes to, you know, places in France, he sells out, you know, easy. I don't recall him ever coming to New Orleans, you know, because, like, domestic touring wasn't his focus, you know. And I don't want to misrepresent what he's doing or anything, but that's my observation. It seemed like he didn't focus on that, you know, before. So that's one thing, just raising name recognition, period, but being able to do more things outside of the U.S. And also, I love doing like festival, type gigs, and so I want to do more of that as well. And that's another way that you garner more supporters and fans. Just, you know, being exposed to bigger audiences as well. I think that's a great tool for indies to be able to, you know, when you're able to secure those gigs, because like South by Southwest has been great over the years, you know, doing when we have, like, you know, bigger exposure, it's evident afterwards, because I have people that stick with what I'm doing and, you know, actually check in and, you know, continue to support in various ways, monetarily, just morally, you know, it's just cool. So those are steps I want to take and places I want to try to get to, just raising overall name recognition.
Okay, so I'm going to give you one more chance to make sure that people know how to get in contact with you, and hopefully you'll come on again, and we're going to go to your last track. Did you want to talk a little bit about your last track that we're going to play? No? Yeah?
Yeah, okay. It's the title track, Invent the Future. It's a pretty short deal, but I kind of wanted it to... kind of wanted it to hint in the hint at the direction that I was taking with the record. Pudge produced this, so you know it's that type of feel. This is the type of feel I was going for, more or less, with the whole album. It's not the whole album feel, but you know it's being introduced. You know, something I don't normally do, I guess you could say. And where I can be reached. It's Truth Universal, T-R-U-T-H, Universal, on more or less, you know, any social network, Twitter, Facebook, started doing the Tumblr thing recently, still on MySpace, you know. So it's Truth Universal anywhere that you are, you know, check for it, and I should be there. TruthUniversal.com is the website, and, you know, any of those places, you can find us and reach out if you want to talk about some type of collaboration, inclusion for performances, what have you. Booking at truthuniversal.com is where you would do that. And again, thank you for having us. Def D is here, but you're not hearing him. You know, he accompanied me up. So it's a pleasure to be here, and I love to come back. We can do it remotely when y'all are ready to do that. I'm down. So just let me know and give thanks again.
Yes, and I hope you come back and keep in contact with the show. So whenever you're back in town, we'll have you in, and then also I would like to invite you to have another show. So if you want to call in, that's totally open. And you are listening to Roots Reggae Radio. We're heard every Thursday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And we're going to kind of wrap up the show. We'll see everyone next week. But we're going to go to a Truth Universal track called Invent the True Future off the same title album.
Invent the future. Invent the future. Look, I'ma strive to make it perfectly clear. If you're feeling it, well let me see your hands in the air. Could ignore the black holocaust like I didn't care, but I respect my roots like black thought in the mirror. I'm a fixture, I ain't going anywhere. Not falling off, I show improvement every year. You intend to make me cease, you got trouble to bear. Feeling like Sinead O'Connor because nothing compares. If you look on a map, my location appears. Through South Louisiana, send my packages there. Worldwide, getting love from everywhere. I've had incidents, they hop on stage and flatten the rear. But I prefer the curvature like Pamela Greer. And coffee is the color with the natural hair. Criminal minded like 87, letting it blare. You might get blinded if you stare directly into the glare. It's the sun, whack my. Ending is near. If you're prone to melanoma, I'm the one you should fear. You offended by the wording? Well, I do not care. Standing by my convictions as long as there's air flowing through my nasal passages, I stand on my square. 90 degrees in MC with the warrior flair. Affecting social change to my heart, that purpose is dear. Invent the future, main intent of my career. From I'll show you.
People will come.